to the Lord in prayer as we plan on continuing where we started this morning. We don't often do this, but we just felt it would be good tonight to do that very thing. Thank you, Father, for the chance to continue on with the theme of things that are ever new. And we pray that you would be glorified in our midst as we consider your word, we consider this precious truth. We do continue to pray for some of our own folks and the needs they have. We once again praise you for watching out for and sparing Michelle. How different things could have been had Chris and Tracy not been in that room with her Friday night. We just thank you for the measure of recovery that is coming. We do pray that you would help settle her stomach. She's so nauseated when they try to get her up and have her walk. We pray that her body would be able to adjust to the painkillers and things like this. We do just praise you for the success of the surgery, and we do pray for a good healing. We thank you in our Savior's name. Amen. Jerry and I did go see Michelle and Chris this afternoon, and considering how close she came to dying, she looks great, doesn't she, Jerry? And the story, for those that didn't hear this morning, about 10 o'clock, the evening of her surgery, which was scheduled, well, it started at 4 o'clock, and they had her in her room. Several hours later, Chris and Tracy were in the room with her and noticed that she had stopped breathing and was actually starting to turn blue. And there were no monitors on her. And had they not been in the room, only the Lord knows how long before a nurse would have come in and checked. I know they have their rounds every 15 to 30 minutes. They make their rounds, but that very easily could have been too long. And we talk about giving God the glory for what he's done. And that was something of the Lord. We shared that with them today. That was no accident. It wasn't just lucky that they were in that room. I don't believe in luck as a Christian when we think about our Heavenly Father watching over and orchestrating everything. Our Heavenly Father had them in that room because he knew they were going to need to be there to catch that in time. We serve a great God, don't we? Well, we talked this morning, just a quick review to bring up to speed those that weren't here this morning, and I will try to do this quickly. Sometimes I get too bogged down in the review. We talked about how new things are nice, but we all like to get new things, but the problem is they usually get old. They break, they wear out, but there are some things that are ever new for the believer. And we talked about, first of all, 2 Corinthians 5:17. You don't look at this. I'm giving you references. If you're trying to catch up, just jot down some review. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Included in that new creation, we looked at 2 Peter 1, we have a new nature. Ephesians 2, we have a new life. We saw in Philippians 1, 21 and Philippians 3, 7 to 14, we have a new direction. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. That didn't come about until we were made a new creature in Christ Jesus. Then we saw, secondly, that after we came to know the Lord as our own personal Savior, he put Psalm 40, verse 3, a new song in our mouth, even praise unto our God. And we saw one of the things that really contributes to that new song and that new praise is when we go, as we as Gentiles, go to the scriptures and realize the fact that we were without hope in this world. The Jews, they were God's favored people. Gentiles, they were dogs. They had no hope. But we looked in the New Testament, primarily in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to 18. We who once were afar off have been made nigh through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord took down that middle wall of partition, made of the two one new thing in Christ Jesus. Then we closed with the reference that Margot referred to in Lamentations chapter 3, 22 and 23, the comfort that comes from the fact that it is because of God's mercy that we are not consumed. His compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. And the thing that we pointed out is that, praise God, as a believer, we have new enablements for each day. You do not have God's grace and enablement for what tomorrow is going to bring. And you know why? Tomorrow hasn't come yet. But the Word of God says that His compassions are new every day. Guess what? When you get up in the morning, God has already worked to give you and to make available for you what you need for tomorrow. We don't have to rely on His grace and what He provided for us yesterday or last week. Yes, I know He did that back then, or even what He has done for us today, as glorious as that is. The good news is that we can face tomorrow, regardless of what may be, whether it's real or fabricated in our minds, as many of us, oh, what if, I'm so afraid, what if, what if, what if? You know, the truth of the matter is most of those what ifs never come to pass. We get ourselves all browbeaten and all discouraged, and if you'd be honest, most things aren't what we have convinced ourselves that they're going to be. The truth of the matter is, as we look at Lamentations 3, 22 and 23, whatever tomorrow brings, we can count on our God. His compassions are going to be new. That He will have just the fresh supply of strength and guidance and wisdom for the time you need it and when you need it. He doesn't give it ahead of time. We don't store it up. It'll be there when you need it. Praise God. Well, we've looked at things that you might say are ongoing, things that are ever new, things that don't grow old, new creation. He's put a new song in our heart. There's always something new to praise the Lord for, His new compassions every day. But we stopped this morning because I said, you come back tonight and there are some new things in store for us as a believer. Anybody give any thought to what maybe I might be referring to this evening? Anybody think of anything? Don't have it yet. It's coming. Something new. What might it be? Bonnie Jo. A new body. You read my notes, didn't you? All right. Philippians chapter 3. Let's look at Philippians 3. That's exactly something that has been promised to us. A new body. Philippians chapter 3. And we look at verse 20 and 21. our conversation, our hope, our manner of life is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. Wow. Now the word is not here, we don't find. Well, I don't see new body anywhere in that verse. That's right. But the truth is certainly plain, isn't it? Didn't you catch it? You don't have to be a rocket scientist to recognize that the Apostle Paul is speaking of that future time when the Lord comes unannounced. We look for his return, but we don't know when he is coming. His coming is going to be unexpected. He's not going to announce, okay, tomorrow, 3:47 p.m., here we are. No, we don't know when. We just look up, don't we? We're just waiting for his return. And when he comes, we often talk about looking forward so much to his return. And here's one of the things that often is the topic of our blessed hope. Because when he comes, Paul said, he is going to change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. I don't think there's anybody here that is really feeling sad and gloomy over the fact that when the Lord comes, you're going to have to leave this old body behind. I've never met a person that has said, but I love this body so much. It's encased my real me, my life. You know, body, this isn't you, this isn't me. The real you, the real me, that's the immaterial part that we can't see. Our body dies, and the real you and the real me, it lives on, doesn't it? But I love this old body. Oh, I've really gotten... I really like that old sciatic pain. I'm afraid I'm going to miss it in heaven. Arthritis. I love how it keeps me awake at night. The aches, the pains, the tossing and the tumbles. No, that's, beloved, this is something we can anticipate because the Lord is coming again for us. And when he comes, everything is going to be new. We won't have to take these old bodies with all their aches and pains with us. We find that the Lord is going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. You know, John wrote it this way in 1 John 3:2, beloved, now are we the sons or children of God. But it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be what? Like him. And we shall see him as he is. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more hunger, no more limitations. You know, as we think about our Lord and his glorious resurrected body, we talk about this oftentimes at the Easter season, the resurrection season. Our Lord, in that resurrected body, he ate food. That's a good thought, isn't it, Slim? What's that? They're right. I kind of enjoy eating. And you know, the Lord has given us that hint, that human, that resurrected body, it's going to take in food. The Lord met there with his disciples on the seashore. He provided broiled fish for breakfast. Yuck. I like fish, but I don't want them for breakfast. It wouldn't have been my favorite breakfast, but I guess if you are a fisherman by trade, it might have been just the thing. As the Lord met with the disciples in the upper room, they were frightened of him, and he said, "Do you have something to what? Have something to eat." The new body, you're going to be able to feel it, because he said, "Thomas, come here. Put your fingers in the holes." So there's going to be this, what is this new body that's coming? It's going to have substance. But the substance is not going to be limited by the kinds of obstacles that our bodies are limited by in this life, will it? Because the doors and windows were closed, and suddenly the Lord was in their presence with the disciples bodily. How do you get that body in there? Well, that's one of the unexperienced yet things of that new body which is coming, just like the Lord's. So that's the body that the Lord has designed for us, promised us that we will have eternally. It'll never wear out, because eternity will never end. And it's going to be just like his. We can't imagine that, can we? Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, those things that God has prepared for them that love him. We can talk about it, yeah, that they get to eat, and you know, walls don't stop it, and you can see it and feel it, and but we haven't experienced it yet. We just thank the Lord for the promise. The fact that one day there is going to be this new body, and we will have said goodbye to the old once and for all. Is there any other new thought that comes to anyone's mind? Gene, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Wow. Wow. What's that have to do with us? Where will we be when that takes place? As believers, we're going to be with the Lord. In 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter speaks of the fact that there is going to be a new location for us. New body and a new location. 2 Peter chapter 3. Look at verse 11. He was talking about, in verse 10, the day of the Lord. It's going to come like a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. And then he says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved or destroyed, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy living or conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. What a tremendous revelation these few verses give us in 2 Peter. Peter is talking about a cataclysmic change that is going to come once again suddenly and unannounced. And we find he talks about how that when that takes place, he says the heavens are going to melt with, and the elements are going to melt with fervent heat. The earth and all the works that are therein shall be burned up. I think I've mentioned this to you once before. I'm often reminded at perhaps programs or announcements of great buildings and complexes that have been built by mankind. We look at some of the things that man has accomplished, structures that have been built. You know, I don't like big cities. I like to see them far away, but they are kind of awesome to look at as you drive through or near or see pictures of cities like New York City, Chicago, some of these with these massive structures and all of the buildings. And you think about all of the man hours that it took to get those things in place. And oftentimes they're great monuments to the architect and whoever has constructed it, and there's pride and joy over those. And from time to time, I will comment to Jerry as we see something like that. Isn't it something that, you know, the Bible tells us that one of these days this is all going to be burned to the ground. It's all going to be burned to the ground. And it's all going to come to nothing. God's going to destroy it all. All of man's great cathedrals and his accomplishments, the earth and its elements are going to be burned. And it tells us that it's going to be the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved. The heavens being on fire shall be dissolved. That's what Peter said. What in the world? What does he mean? How can the heavens burn? They're going to. And then the elements are going to melt with fervent heat. And in their place, God is going to put new, he doesn't just say heaven, but he says heavens. Does this mean that all of the old constellations, all of the old things that are so dazzling to see and look at out in space, They're all going to be burned up, kind of seems like it. But he's going to put new heavens. He's going to have new things for us to look at? I don't know. New heavens and a new earth. And the thing that is characteristic of that new earth, righteousness. There'll be righteousness on that new earth. Now we turn to the book of Revelation 21. Revelation 21, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea in the new heaven and the new earth. Is the sea or the ocean a large or a small part of this earth? Large. There's more water than there is land mass, isn't there? Much more water. But John said, I saw the new heaven and a new earth. The old were passed away, and there's no oceans. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. That new Jerusalem, the holy city, coming down to that new earth. The old all burned up, gone. And the voice, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them. They shall be his people. God himself shall be with them and be their God. And in that new heaven, in that new earth, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. In that new heaven and new earth, there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he said, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make what? All things new. Hasn't happened yet. But you know, as believers, this is a promise to us. I make all things new. And he said, write, for these words are true and faithful. Can I count on it? Pastor, do you think it's really going to happen? Yes. John was given that word. He was given that vision. What a glorious picture for the one who knows the Lord as we bring this all to a close. Think of those things that are ever new and will remain ever new. New creation in Christ Jesus. New song in our mouth. His compassions new daily. One day we will receive that new body just like his. And we will find ourselves living in a new location. All the old will be long gone. And this is where we will be eternally. New things which never grow old. Let's stand and be dismissed with prayer. Thank you, Father, for these glimpses that you give to us, especially of the coming things that we've centered our attention on tonight. We rejoice this morning to find those things that are already new and true. The new life, the new compassions, the new song. But tonight we look toward the future and we anticipate when we will be able to experience those coming things that are new. Strengthen our faith in you, Lord. We praise your holy name. We thank you that what we have spoken is a reality. This word is true and faithful. And we can claim it that know you as our own personal Savior. Now dismiss us with your blessing on us as we go our way. In your name I pray. Amen. And you are dismissed.